Talking about elders, okay? But let's talk about elders because our church is now in the search for additional elders, okay? Who was in the first service? You already heard that. Okay, so you got a great, I don't know, what did you think of the background he gave? It was good. Next week he's going to do the qualifications, but listen, the best thing you got was that it started off with the right tone, and that was when Garrett introduced it, and Sia followed through with that he went back not just to the beginning in the New Testament of how they were selecting elders. Where did he go back to? He went back to Exodus when God created that new creation at Sinai, okay? Created that new creation at Sinai. That's where they are when this happens, okay? And he goes through what Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, tells him, who was a priest in Midian. Was he a priest of Yahweh? Yeah. In Midian? Yeah. Nothing wrong with that. Okay. So anyway, that was Exodus 18. So I want you to go to Exodus chapter 4. Go to Exodus chapter 4. When I do my presentation on the roots of the American Republic, I go back to the Bible because the roots of our American Republic go back to Sinai. You go back to the Hebrew Republic where people chose their leaders. Did you hear what C.F. said this morning? I wondered if he was going to have it. But in Acts 14, when he said, we came through and we appointed elders over every church. And he said that's two things. It's a hand stretched out or a hand raised. What does that make you think of?
Vote.
Well, I thought they appointed them. They did. Well, maybe they voted. They did. Can those go together?
Yes.
And you're going to see how right now. I'm going to show you the beginning of it. Acts 4, little snippet here, but it's a big deal. 4, the end of the chapter. End of the chapter. Go to verse number 27. And Yahweh said to Aaron, okay, Aaron, Moses is scared. Moses can't speak. Exodus 4, are you there? 4:27?
Yep.
Go in the wilderness and meet Moses. So he went and he met him on the mountain of God and kissed him. And Moses told Aaron all the words Yahweh who had sent him and all the signs which he had commanded him. Listen, verse 29. Then Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spoke all the words which Yahweh had spoken to Moses. And he didn't just speak, but he did those signs in the sight of the people, that's code word. So the people, that's code word, believed. And when they heard that Yahweh had visited the children of Israel and that he had looked on their affliction, they bowed their heads and worshiped. Verse 29. Where did they gather these elders from? All the tribes. They're already there? Sure were. So it doesn't start at Exodus 18, although it's a new deal going from Exodus 18 when they said, okay, do that. But you see, some way in God's government in exile, those government in Egypt, these people, remember, they were not in amongst the Egyptians, were they? No, they were running their own deal over in Goshen. They were electing their own elders. Now you heard this morning, New Testament says you do elders, okay? And they need to be not old in just chronological years, but they need to be spiritually mature. You heard that? You think that's right? Yeah. And then you heard, and we're going to go. But I'm saying, even way back when they're between Jacob and Moses, they got their own elders. They got their own elders, is what I'm trying to show you. Now go to Exodus 18. Just flip over there. It's a great quote Garrett took us to this morning. CF also went there. We're not going to read the whole thing, but did you get the context this morning? They're wearing Moses out, okay? All day, every day, okay? And this is good not only in church government, it's also good in civil government. And our civil government follows this as well. And I'll ask you how in a minute. But the verse is, what kind of people are supposed to be in the government? Verse 21, you got it? 18:21, moreover, you shall select from all the people able men. And what are the three qualifications?
Fear God.
Love truth. Anybody got anything else?
Trustworthy.
Okay. And the third one?
Won't take a bribe.
Won't take a bribe. Some of you might have hate.
Hate
incorruptible. Hate covetousness. That's what they're talking about. Okay? So look, is that still good for today? Is that what you think about when you go to choose a person? Yes, yeah, some of you. No, some of you. How about the American voting people, mostly when they exercise their suffrage, their votes? You think they think of these three things? Able equals fear God, love truth, but you can't do one without the other. If you don't know truth, if you don't know God, and then they would not be covetous, as they wouldn't take a bribe. You think most Americans do that? Be honest.
CF said it this morning. He said it's not a popularity contest.
Yeah.
Well, you have in political, elections now, it's mostly popularity.
Right on. Do you believe that? You think that's true? Yeah. I think so. So who should you still elect able people to fill offices? Well, which people know fear God? Which people fear God?
Conservatives.
Only His.
Only His people. Oh, would you be saying that only Christians? Yes. But shut my mouth if I say you should be voting for Christian people. But what if they're a hypocrite?
We're gonna vote for that one.
All right.
How would you know? Especially like if you're a new member to a church.
How would you know if they're Christian or hypocrite?
Well, how would you know?
Well, give me some examples of how you might know.
Fruit,
such as?
Watch what they do.
Actions will always come.
All right, so such as what? How they live. So should they, do they pray? Do they go to church? Is that even a start?
Look at their business.
Look at their business. Their work.
They speak when they should.
Yes. And from whence? From where do they get?
Incumbents.
What were you saying, Bill? All right, come back to you, Tom. All right, what would you say? How would you know?
Just the way they live their everyday life, huh? How they present themselves, be in private and public.
There you go. Isn't that what we're about to do with the elders? You're looking at that? Should we dig behind them? To see if I really beat my wife, but thanks to her church. No, look, look, sometimes I don't treat her right. One time in front of a class, I had to apologize. I couldn't teach because all week I'd been mad at her, quiet to her. That's when I was trying to get over that. I still try to get over that sometimes. Okay, but there you go. You look for clues. All right, now you were going to say something. How do you know?
If they're incumbents, look at their voting record. Are they voting in favor of things that, counter the Christian ideals?
There you go. So might they be Christian? Might they be friendly towards Christianity? Well, there's your one. There's another. All right, so look, my friend Garrett, he gave me a book. This book is called... Listen now, they didn't ever have just a little short, little pithy thing of a title. Here's the title of the book. 1805. Listen to it. The Duty of Christian Freemen to Elect Christian Rulers. The Duty to Elect Christian Rulers. A discourse delivered on the 4th of July, 1827, in the 7th Presbyterian Church. I said 1805. 1827. John Quincy Adams, president of about that time. Andrew Jackson, hero of New Orleans, going to be president, didn't know it at the time. And they had big fights going on and all that. But this guy says, you do elect, if you're a Christian freeman, who do you vote for?
Christians.
And it's a sermon, a little 16-page deal. You think he got any flack? He got flack in 1827. You believe that? Okay, but still, what's the answer? Should you vote Christian? John, come in.
Jordan Peterson were an American. He seems to meet all the qualifications. The most honest speaking person, generous and all that. But he doesn't go to church and he never says exactly says he's a Christian.
Okay. What do you think of that? So, he wouldn't be my first choice.
Yeah.
But listen, can I get me a hit? Kay said, well, how do you, maybe they're a Christian, but what if they're a hypocrite?
You're going to find out, aren't you? You get them out the next time.
Might they get changed? Is there a possibility or probability that because if they do have God living within them, that they might get changed? Compared to an infidel, an unbeliever. What's going to change him, her, unless God does it now?
Okay.
I mean, yeah, money. What changes them badly is money, power, influence.
That's the biggest problem there. There's too much money in politics right now. It turned into a business more than it is the honest man out there. You know, unless he has the backers, and usually a backer wants something out of the deal anyhow, say that. I mean, see the money, but...
Yes.
So, I mean, it's the root of all evil.
The love of it.
Yeah, yeah.
The love of it is root of all evil. If that's still true, the Bible said it. Yeah. And even more than money, the love of money might be power. Because nowadays you got a banking system that those who run the banking system, they can print all the money in the world. They buy everything in the world. So why do they still want to treat you like that when they have all the money? I think it's because power might be even worse than money. Greed, okay? All right, so back to what we're talking about. That's why I wanted us to come here, okay, and to say, all right, as far as choosing elders, who are we looking for? And look, I think C.S. said it just right. So we need to be praying about this and watching for who might be a candidate, okay? So here's one. Let's go to 1 Timothy 3, okay? 1 Timothy 3. And I want to see if what you think about this. I want to see what you think about this. 1 Timothy 3. He's going to go here next week. But this is a little hard one. Well, I don't know. Maybe it is, maybe it's not. I'll just let you decide. 1 Timothy 3, verse 1. This is a faithful saying. What words you got? If a man desires the position of overseer, bishop, elder, he desires a good work. Focus on if a man aspires to, desires a position. What do you have? Somebody. Aspires. Desires. Anybody else different?
Just long for.
Long for. What about that? Exegete that for me.
Let's say in general, in the daily walk, you know, political offices, whatnot, Amy's heard me say, I don't want anybody who wants the office.
Yeah.
If somebody aspires to this office, I don't. Yeah. I don't want to conscript them for it either. And yet, I don't want people who want to be cops. There's an innate problem in men that wants the Lord to go over.
Now you just limited a little bit. I mean, or you said that was in a civil indictment.
Well, yeah. I mean, so it, what about it concerns me anywhere.
But. How could this be a concern and yet it's still true? Help me here. Help me here.
Any position of power.
Okay.
If you desire to have a position of power, the question is why do you desire it? Do you desire it to shepherd or do you desire it to have power?
Okay. I'm going to summarize that by watch the motive.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's what he just said.
Yeah, desire to serve or desire to, yeah.
Right.
Control or serve.
Right on.
Yeah. In the Presbyterian Church, yes. There's a nominating committee for elders, so you don't run to the be an elder. There's not a campaign. You get appointed as a candidate by a committee, and then and if you say yes, then the congregation votes on you. It's not a thing that you go, well, you know, I would really like to do this. Please vote me in. It's a we think you might be fitting for the job. Would you accept it?
God is calling.
And that's yeah.
We're not going to do much different than that. Remember. Moses, I couldn't find it, but it's in there. It says that Moses was to choose able men. Fear God, love truth, won't take a bribe or not cut. But elsewhere it's going to say the people chose them and Moses commissioned them. I just couldn't find it between there and here. But it's in there. So I'm telling you that both of those things happen. And isn't that what Thomas just said? Because you know what we're about to do? Next week, CF, he's already telling you to pray. But he's going to say, if you know of someone that fits these qualifications, turn them in to the elder. He's going to say that to the congregation. Is there anything wrong with that? What's right about that? Now, you can vote for yourself if you want, or your wife. Your wife turns in your name 5 times. I don't know. Okay, but look, what's wrong with that? And are we going to the right source that says, we didn't find it this morning, but the people chose them, Moses commissioned them.
People know the reputations. Right. People personally know the people.
Okay, better than reputation, maybe they know their character.
Yeah.
Character is what you are when you're alone. Reputation is what you think I am from afar. But character, I think that's what you mean. So look, is that the right thing? But in our case, we're not going to have a committee. It's going to be the elders will select new elders, I think. But I think that's what he's going to tell you next week, pretty sure.
Now, who are the current elders? Do we already have, like, some that we can...
Yeah, we have five. Oh. CF, Tim, you know Tim Ramsey? You know Craig Clark, he teaches Sunday school. Okay. You know David Berry and Richard, five.
And that's down from what we had...
We've had eight before. We've had eight, we've had seven, we've had six, we've had five. Now, it's been different over the last, I don't know, since CF came. CF has been here how long? 25 years. Come.
So why?
Say why? There's a general belief in, among the elders that we need more for good purposes. New thoughts, new blood, new enthusiasm. When does the Bible say, how long are you appointed as an elder? Don't say.
Maybe to keep us stronger in like our church too, like to be more unified, to have more leadership as like a person to go to.
It's very easy whenever you have a set group to become a single focus and to have blind spots. So it's always good to bring in fresh news occasionally.
Also, spread the work. Spread the love.
Spread the work. He said that this morning.
If the church grows, you need more.
Church grows. When we had original CF came here, I don't remember how many families we had. Less than 100. Today, if we got 250 families, should we have more? We have more deacons, and we do have, I think, a biblical pattern. You have elders, you have deacons. What do you say about Baptist churches? Where he's been in before, and you maybe too. Baptist churches, they got deacons. They just do everything. They probably don't do deaconing like deacons should be. And maybe they don't do elders, though they're just a whatever. But I'm just saying, you at least have a biblical pattern. Come on.
Just, you know, as part of what Thomas was laying out, and that whole approach of the people bringing names forth, and beyond what was already put on the table, it is a reflection of a right ordering of society, right? That all the people are directly under God, that authority under him wells up from the people that they appoint, he ratifies, whatnot. And, you know, it's a health thing like, you know, look, the setup here that CF is, he's senior pastor, but he's just another elder. And, you know, in the recent past, we've had questions of no confidence in the elders. The body was speaking. The body will lift them up and the body will bring them down. And it's a very healthy system, and it's great to see it reflected in church government that we recognize some men say, these guys are, we think they're able, we would like to lift them up and put them in this position where they can help lead or oversee or tend the flock, and yet they're not deity, and there's nothing special about them except that the people have said, we recognize something, want to delegate some authority.
That's why, to stay on this and to finish it, I think both of what you have said is this: if one desires it or aspires to it, the motive is the proper thing. And how can you tell if their motive is right? You can look at prior action. Is a deacon body a good place, a good pond to fish in for elders? I would think so. How about people who are not deacon, but they've been teachers? What if they've been in another church, but not our church? Well, no, they're in the church, okay? Not at this building. You heard the difference there. So let's get that straight, unless you have another item to add to it. But looking at motives, if somebody says, yeah, I've been desiring to do that for 20 years, I'm glad y'all finally see that, you know, I'm the one, and yet I ain't done nothing in the body, go back to the word or whatever, you know. So there you go. That's how we can say that someone could aspire to it, desire it, but in a good way, not in a self-glorifying, exalting way. You think? I'm asking.
Well, some churches, don't they kind of rotate off, or they go for a 3 or 4 or 5 year, or then they rotate out, and then they come back maybe
Yes, Disciples of Christ here in Huntsville, when I was a new Christian, they had a board. I don't know if they called them even elders. Maybe they did.
Yes,
but
they did.
They did, okay. And I think there was like 25, and they would go a three-year deal, and every year a new bunch of eight. So more like, I don't know what you call that, elder rule or whatever, but yes, some do. Some do. Coming.
Well, and Paul in the New Testament too, we're instructed to be more Christ-like and act like that. So not that we're going to achieve or attain a level of Christ, but, you know, just following these patterns and these qualities is good for us.
Yes.
Not to attain anything, but just that's how we're supposed to live our life.
Yes. And I think that's a great summary of what we're saying. Is that good for church government? Yes. Is it good for civil government? Yes. Vote for Christians. Don't vote for no Muslim. Don't vote for an infidel. Don't vote for a... No, no. Just don't. I don't care what they promise you. Well, look at that guy on the other side, though. Okay. Treasure your vote, Mr. Craddock said. Yes, come on.
The recent issue at the city hall and the librarian speaks to the, how important it is for one to elect Christian representatives, and when even once removed from direct body elect or people elect, the librarian got in without any consent of the people, and that was with even a majority of Christians that we
on council.
On city council. But that's a very good point that librarian is subject to the city elected officials because they're subject to the people. And so making that point that you will be out if you allow this. This is people directly being accountable. But when you have it so removed, like our quote-unquote national government, federal government, that's why we can't know always, is this person a Christian? Because they're so far removed from anyone we know doesn't have their character because we're so far removed. That's why local
there's your fantastic application of exactly what we're talking about. Application right there. Should there be Christians on that city council elected by Christians in Huntsville? Yes. How long would we have a groomer running the library? Only until they find out. That's what the answer should be. And then get rid of her, fire her, without trying to have the city be sued for $1 zillion, which that's usually what people like that want. But anyway, so there's you an application right there. And so elect Christians to council. And they may not know when they hire her, because her hair ain't dyed purple and she ain't putting out her stuff until later. But then it will become apparent then there's something to do coming.
That's probably another reason why the founding fathers wanted a smaller federal or central government. Because they wanted you to know the people that had more power, they wanted them at the level of where they were and not.
Absolutely.
And that's the evil with the part of the problem you run into with political parties is that you get the party men being, you know, as the one, well, either you're going to elect a Republican or you're going to elect a Democrat, and whereas the Republican might not necessarily be a good Christian person. Well, as you said, the last Republican you voted for that you were happy about, so probably wrong, right?
But that was 1980.
That's the point, is that they're not necessarily the man that the people want, but the man that the party wants.
Listen, the founders called those factions, okay? Today we call them parties. They're so entrenched that, yeah, the way the rules are, which they write the rules, you only get a choice of two. Okay, so you vote for the lesser of two evils. So you vote for evil?
Yeah.
Well, you are if you believe that line. Okay, so last thing I want us to go. We got still 10 minutes. I want the last thing. How? Here's CF asked this question. We're going to cover this in a small group again too, okay? This is a new church. Paul and them are just coming through these cities. In Titus 1:5 it says, in every city they appointed elders. In Acts 14 that he read, in every church they appointed elders. Think about that. But that ain't the main point. CF asked the question, how? How did they find spiritually mature, fit for an elder, overseer, episcopos, all that, presbyteroi? Where did they find that when they're new converts?
Well, Cornelius was known to be spiritually mature before he was a Christian.
How so?
He was praying continuously, and God recognized his prayer. He had a reputation among the people as a good person.
What about that? Is that a good one? Was he a Christian yet? Was he a Jew?
Kind of a proselyte, I guess.
Yes! Is that not a good thing? Who were the first Christians when Paul and them were going around? Well, mostly, where are they getting their Christians from? He only went to one place when he hit town. He didn't hit spiritual, he hit the what?
Synagogue.
Who were the first Christians mostly? Jews. Converted Jews. And then you even got a Gentile. How about Gentiles? Did they come along too? God was converting them? Yeah, but first they was going to be in the synagogue. But then he find them out at the river where the women were, and there wasn't any elder, blah, blah, blah. You see that? So, answer C.S. question. Answer it for yourself. How, if they're new converts, did they find them to be spiritually mature to reach out their hand and vote for or lay a hand on to be an elder? How?
You live around them.
They were coming out of, probably they're coming out of Judaism. And they weren't a false teacher, they weren't a Judaizer, they weren't a scoffer, right?
Well, even if they were Gentiles, you still lived in the same community with them.
Yes, you would know. And I don't know how long, over what years. Remember, Christ had already been gone. Paul maybe didn't start his missionary journeys until maybe 14 years. You know what I mean? If Jesus goes back, ascends in 30 AD or 33, whichever one you pick, Paul's not going anywhere for... It'd be 10 years. He tells you in Galatians, I did this, I did that, I went up there. But that's before he's even going out on the field. So you already got stuff happening, but where it's happening through is probably where? Synagogues. Remember Acts 2? In Jerusalem at that time, there were people from every nation under heaven. They mean Jews. And those people went back to all their countries, and they went back to where? Synagogue. And they start talking about Yeshua. That's what happened. So there it is. That's organically probably how it was growing up. So these people, the answer is these new converts, they were new Christians, but were they new to the Bible? No. Were they new to Yahweh now being figured out to be Jesus? No. No. They would be like Paul. Would Paul make a good elder? Yes. So I think that's where they got them. So where is it taking you back to? It's taking you still back to the Old Testament. Exodus 4, they already had elders. Exodus 18, here's how you pick them. Able men. You know what I mean? It's the same. How did they choose a king? Listen, even though God told Samuel to go anoint Saul, then Saul says, you're the man. Then Saul brought him to the town, and he's hiding back there in the luggage. Samuel calls an assembly. Now that's their elected leaders. It's like our Congress. He calls them up and he says, Saul's going to be your man. By the way, where is he? Hiding over there. They bring him forth and the people proclaim him king. Well, wait a minute. I thought Yahweh already said Samuel proclaimed him king. So who made him king? Yahweh or the people?
Yes.
Very good. Very good. Okay, David, same way. Go look how David did. If I'm just telling you, there's nothing wrong with you're finding the will of God through the will of God's people. What's wrong with that? Nothing. That's a good way. Come on.
Another principle that comes right out of that story, right, in 1 Samuel 12.
Yes.
And it's going to ratify another statement of Proverbs 29:12, which is, if a minister loves falsehood, if a ruler loves falsehood, all his ministers will be wicked. We look at that and say, we are the rulers here and all our ministers indeed are. But in 1 Samuel 12,
hurts.
In 1 Samuel 12, 14, here's the promise. If you, the people, will fear Yahweh and serve him and listen to his voice and not rebel against the mouth of Yahweh, then both you and also the king who reigns over you will follow Yahweh your God. And so I would suggest that that's probably a universal principle that extends even to elders or selection of anybody in any position. Say, if you guys have your stuff in,
You
serve Yahweh. If you guys love him in your prayer, he'll do right by you in your room.
But don't we have the opposite thought? If only we could get a Christian as president, we would be a Christian nation. No, there's your principle, as he called. The principle is no. You rulers have to be righteous, godly, before you're going to have this.
Well, Biden claimed to be Catholic and then went against with abortion and all that kind of stuff.
How much does his word and his claim mean to you, and should it?
Zero.
You know, well, the answer should be zero, because what do we watch?
Action.
He always voted for abortion.
Never done.
Look. Anymore, I don't care if they're wearing a D, a R, a L, a libertarian, an I, independent. Look, forget it. You better look for motive and backed up by actions. And there you go. I mean, look, I told somebody that we've studied Wednesday. I said, why does God let these old, godless people still our rulers? Pelosi and Biden and Schumer and McConnell. They're the oldest, the hill. Who said that they were average age was now 70-something years old? Somebody said that. Of our rulers. And then he says that, and I say, ouch. You mean we got that few Christians electing people? That this is what we elect? Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's like in the time of the judges, everybody kept like falling, and every time that we would fall from him, we'd have an oppressor, and we'd have to have a judge come in and save the day, and, you know, when we finally were like, God, please help us.
Yes.
And then, you know.
Very good. Excellent. There's your pattern. Every time through those judges. Everyone. And the people who go so bad, and the people then, just like they were in Egypt, that's a pattern of the Exodus in Egypt. And they began, when they started killing their babies and doing all that, each one, they said, they cried out to Yahweh, and Yahweh heard their cry. That's why they were rejoicing in Exodus 4 when they said, Yahweh has visited us. They were waiting on that visitation. And there it is. So, what's going to have God do that with America? Only his people. So you better start electing Christians, you better start educating kids, you better start finding other Christians. CF made a little a comment this morning. He said things are going to get worse. You believe that? He said unless what? Unless the church stands up, God gives revival. Yep, that's it. So it's probably right. Hey, we've been going the wrong direction since 19... When would you say? When would you say? Some of you old as me, I'm 66. When did it start going like noticeably bad? Yeah. But in America?
I think it was the 60s.
60s.
So, with such a wealthy country that, you know, sin didn't affect us anymore, that we were told we didn't need God.
Okay. There you go. 60s. 1961, 1962, Madeline Murray O'Hare. What did we take out in 61? We took out prayer. In 62, we took out Bible reading in all schools. Kennedy was president. Okay. Hey, worried about Kennedy because he was going to follow the Pope. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, comment?
I was going to say, my dad, who's 80, in his 80s now, he talks about it, you know, in the 40s and 50s. Even if you weren't a Christian, at least you acted like it, because that's what society expected you to do. Find, you know, men acted a certain way, women acted a certain way. And then starting in the 60s,
that's what this guy said, 1827. He said, elect Christians or those that are friendly to Christianity. Do they pray? Do they go to church? Do they not do the bad things? I mean, you know, there you go. At least look for that, okay?
People talk about you shouldn't elect someone based on their faith, but we also throw around the word representative. What's your defining characteristic of who you are?
There you go.
You want someone to represent you, so you need to look at that person, whoever you're voting for, and are they going to represent
you? There you go.
You. That's what representative.
Great way to look at it. Mm-hmm. Look, now I tell you, don't believe anything I say, but I'm telling you, you better vote your faith, because that's a myth. That's a myth. Don't vote your faith. It's a myth that politics is dirty. It's only dirty when Christians are not in it. It's a myth that politics is of the devil. No, it's a myth. And so Christians have left the field. And this is what it looks like when Christian influence, okay, they've gone to Zion. I'm going to heaven, Lieutenant Dan. And you leave this place, okay? That's why the song, when we sing Marching to Zion, no, we're marching in Zion. Zion is what you are, the temple of God, where God dwells. That's why you are not in a church. You are the church. You're marching in Zion, and you're supposed to be leaving a trail behind you that looks a lot different than what Christians have left now, because we ain't marching nowhere.
And these things, they're insidious, like those things that we think are true, like you can't legislate morality.
system.
Yes.
That's what I believed for a long time until I started really thinking about it.
Yes.
And that's what law is, you know, it's somebody's morality.
Bingo,
so
yes.
It's not
bingo.
Ours, that's when we get in trouble.
Thank you. Every law is somebody's moral idea. Every law. That's why if it's based here, you're at least starting from a good principle, good foundation. Okay.
The easiest way I found to think of it was, if you see the darkness, darkness feels oppressive, but darkness isn't a force in and of itself. It is a spell by the smallest light. Any light will dispel all the darkness.
There you go. That's why
if it's fully dark, then it's because there has been no light.
The light has gone away. I'm telling you, there's no ideology. There's no ideology that doesn't have an ideologue. And we need to get rid of the ideologues that have bad ideology. Forget this stuff about, and I'm good with, hate the sin, love the sinner. Loving the sinner means God, either in politics or in church leadership, loving the sinner says, get them out. I don't want to hurt them. I want what's best for them. Isn't what's best for them that God would deal with them? I'll leave that to him. But you got to get rid of ideologues at the library, ideologues on city council that are anti-Christian, ideologues that are in Congress swearing on the Quran. You got to get rid of that. Okay, so pray as we go forward in the next couple of weeks and then even weeks after that when we have this process of what I ask you to do, just like CF asked you. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for principles. All we got to do is go look for them and then let's study from them. Maybe we'll get them wrong a little bit, but I know the source is right, and may you guide us to, if we're wrong, make us right. For your glory and for our good, both. In Jesus' name, amen.